artificial intelligence algorithms, especially the classic ones, are very ubiquitous now. So they are everywhere because they are just standard technology.
But they need to achieve a much better level of performance. I really think that the real impact is yet to come.
AI and us.
Und wir.
KI und wir.
What artificial intelligence means
for our lives.
Was künstliche Intelligenz
means for our lives.
Was künstliche Intelligenz für unser Leben bedeutet.
An Alexander von Humboldt Foundation Science Podcast.
Science Podcast.
Ein Wissenschaftspodcast
der Alexander von Humboldt Stiftung.
Episode 1. How is AI benefiting us today?
Artificial intelligence is science fiction and the subject of current research at one and the same time. And it is already widely used in medicine, for example, where humans and AI partly work hand in hand.
The combination is, for example, in the field of radiology already well established in a number of different difficult tasks. For example, breast cancer screening, you have the concept of having a first reader who looks at the images plus a second reader who then looks at the images independently, and you look at whether the two agree. Now, it is already practiced that you can use, for example, an AI algorithm as your second reader, and then you work in conjunction with a human and the algorithm.
Daniel Rückert is an Alexander von Humboldt professor for AI in medical imaging at TUM in Munich.
Of course, the human has perhaps the advantage that the human can interpret images which don't look like what was used for training correctly, but the human can also make mistakes if they get tired. And of course, one of the big advantages of machine learning models or AI models is that they're going to give you the same answer over and over again, no matter how many images you feed them. And by having humans and AI machines work in cooperation, you can combine the best of the two worlds and hopefully get rid of the disadvantages each might have.
What is now becoming normal practice in medicine is bound to happen in other areas too. Human and artificial intelligence link up to achieve a goal together. A better result. Even our personal lives are full of AI. It's not only in smartphones and loudspeakers, it also doses the detergents in washing machines, operates the assistance functions in cars, and sorts out our spam emails.
I do expect in future that it will become an integral part of our life. We will be using it to get information. It will be teaching us. It might even become our companion. They need to achieve a much better level of performance for something like that.
Milica Gacic holds one of the Humboldt Foundation's Sofia Kovalevskaya Awards, conducting research at Heinrich Heine University, Düsseldorf. She wants to discover how the language abilities of machines can be improved to such a degree that they could even be used in mental health counseling.
Quel est l'avantage de l'intelligence artificielle?
Milica Gacic is convinced that there will be further big leaps in performance because in some areas of AI, they have already happened.
There has been really a leap in performance in machine translation, for example.
¿Cuál es el beneficio de la inteligencia artificial?
¿В чем польза искусственного интеллекта?
So you can now translate between very many languages.
What is the benefit of artificial intelligence?
Was ist der Nutzen künstlicher Intelligenz?
But AI doesn't speak all languages equally well. For lesser spoken languages, there simply isn't the amount of training data, so AI can't be fed enough.
We have this problem that AI or anything to do with natural language processing nowadays is more skewed towards these very highly represented languages for which there is a lot of corpora.
Technology can bring the world closer together, but only certain parts of the world.
We are using artificial intelligence to produce this podcast. There is a program for transcribing the digital audio signals from the interview into text using AI. Then we can copy and paste parts just like in any other text document. The soundtrack is copied at the same time. This has been making podcast producers' lives much easier for years now. Although only in the English-speaking world. The program's AI can't deal with other languages.
Sorry, I don't speak Finnish.
Whether in medicine, translating, or producing podcasts, in many areas, AI has its limitations.
Ein anderes Beispiel sind Suchmaschinen.
Search engines are another example.
That's also the case with technology we use every day that performs key functions.
Früher haben die einfach nur ganz, ganz stupide.
What used to happen was that they mindlessly looked to see which page the term was on that I had typed in, and perhaps also how frequently it occurred, and then produced a list.
Sehr komplexe Muster ausgewählt.
Now, the patterns that are evaluated are much more complex. They include what the page looks like, who has sent the link, how often it has been liked, shared, etc. So lots and lots of potential things. And from this range of possibilities, pattern recognition processes then also choose the best results, hopefully.
Die hoffentlich besten Ergebnisse raus.
Professor Tobias Motzner conducts research on media, algorithms and society at the University of Paderborn.
Es ist ganz oft so, dass wenn wir irgendwie ins Internet gehen und eine Seite.
What often happens when we go online and call up a page is that we call up a particular page because an algorithm has recommended it. For example, a search engine algorithm, which raises the question, when that's the main access, if you like, to the Internet, what is being recommended and why?
Was wird denn da empfohlen und warum?
Are there things that become socially invisible because these algorithms don't take sufficient account of them? Are the things that get too much attention because these algorithms put too much emphasis on them?
Weil sie von diesen Algorithmen zu gut berücksichtigt werden.
In public libraries, librarians decide which books go on the shelves.
On the internet, algorithms control access to information.
Library staff can only make a small selection of all the books there are available and manage them.
AI can evaluate and recognize almost any volume of data as to what is likely to be useful and what isn't.
A new member of staff can bring a breath of fresh air to the municipal library through their personal choice.
Alterations in the algorithms of search engines and social networks change the information that is pushed to the top.
At the municipal library, this affects a few thousand people.
On the internet, a few billion.
Artificial intelligence takes a much more complicated route to produce a result than just making a connection. Many factors can influence the result. When using search engines, this means
based on the searches, based on the purchases that you make, based on the things that you're searching in your search bar, this has an influence on the kind of advertisements that you see, or it has an influence on the next search, the kind of information that you will see, because there's AI in the background making predictions about what you want to see.
Amy Van Weinsberg, Alexander von Humboldt Professor for Applied Ethics of Artificial Intelligence at the University of Bonn. One of the questions that is important to her is how people feel about the ubiquity of AI. She draws a comparison with surveillance cameras.
With surveillance cameras, people can feel, they can feel as though they're being surveilled. And that's not necessarily something that you can measure in numbers. It's a feeling that you have, but that's very important. And so imagine with AI, as AI is being used in the healthcare space, as AI is being used in the banking space, how do we measure the kinds of feelings it's going to arouse in people? Or in a refugee camp, we should be measuring how do people feel when they actually have to interact with this technology, when this technology becomes a part of the process for them seeking asylum.
AI is everywhere, and that does something to us. What exactly is still largely unclear. Rather, the focus is on the opportunities that AI undoubtedly offers. Artificial intelligence is being ever more tightly woven into our societies.
We're not just talking about a few machine learning models that will be used here and there. We are talking about changing transportation, to accommodate for autonomous vehicles. We are talking about changing infrastructures, creating AI as an infrastructure to support the public services sector, to support private industry.
Artificial intelligence is turning into an infrastructure. But is it really intelligence? In the next episode, we ask, where does artificial intelligence kick in?
People really thought they were talking to a real psychologist, or that this machine could give them real psychological answer.
This was episode one of AI and Us, a science podcast by the Alexander von Humboldt Foundation, featuring the following fellows and alumni of the Humboldt Foundation's network. Christian Becker-Asano, Professor for Artificial Intelligence at the Hochschule der Medien in Stuttgart. Milica Gacic, Sofia Kovaleskaya Award winner and Professor of Dialogue Systems and Machine Learning at University Düsseldorf. Tobias Matzner, Professor in the Department of Media, Algorithms and Society at Paderborn University. Daniel Ruckert, Alexander von Humboldt Professor for Artificial Intelligence in Healthcare and Medicine at TUM Munich. And Amy van Weinsberg, Alexander von Humboldt Professor for Applied Ethics of Artificial Intelligence at the University of Bonn.